Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. In our last two radio broadcasts, we've centered on the question, is the Bible the Word of God? I've asked you, for purposes of illustration in those two shows, to envision yourself as an impaneled jury listening to information that I have given you, or testimony, as it were, that I give to you concerning the Bible, and to make up your mind whether it's a product of man, you know, or whether it's a product of God. Is it something that is merely suggestions to us from some wise sage, or is it the law of God? Is the Bible that which we must follow in order to expect a home in heaven? Well, I have more information to give to you on that subject, but since this is the last program of the year, I would like to talk with you about a subject that most everybody, I suppose, talks about this time of year, and that's New Year's resolutions. Certainly, we have a custom in our society, and I think that there is the same custom in other societies to make New Year's resolutions. To look back through introspection to the year that we've had, to identify in our mind those things that we would like to improve, and to make some conscious effort through identification of those self-improvement things to walk more circumspectly in the year to come than we did in the year to pass. I know that it's something that we joke about as being done at the end of the year and forgotten at the beginning of the year, and that well may be the case, but still, it's a good exercise to go through. I think that there are two prerequisites that we have to have in order to make the process of resolution successful. First of all, we have to have a strong character. Not be a character, but have character. That means we have to have the character to recognize those things in our life that need improvement, and we have to have the character to put into place those activities and those plans in our life to improve those on a regular basis so that they are not reoccurring. We also have to have introspection. We have to look inside ourselves, not inside someone else, but inside ourselves, to identify those things that are needed the most. That calls to my mind a passage of Scripture that's found in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in verses 10 and 11. There the Bible says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. And since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" There is a stinging question written by the hand of the Apostle Peter, coming from the inspired Word of God. What sort of people ought we to be? Making resolutions and following those resolutions make better the kind of people that we are. The character that we need is the ability to carry on with a good resolution after the initial motivation leaves. It's easy, isn't it, to quit smoking when you're grappling for that cigarette that you've dropped out of your mouth and it's in between your legs and you're going 75 miles an hour on the freeway. It's easy to say when you're burning your finger, getting that cigarette out the window, that's the last one I'm ever going to smoke. I'm going to stop this habit. But then we get to work, and there's that cup of coffee, and boy, I'll tell you, those things go together so good, and the character that we have slips, and we slip right back into the same thing that we said that we were going to stop. I remember one time reading that a fellow was talking about his smoking habit, and he said that while he was on a recent plane trip, he had read in some medical journal how devastating smoking was to, to his health, and he decided right then and there that he's going to change his habits. He's going to quit reading. But that's not exactly what we're talking about here. We're talking about changing those things for the good. It's easy, isn't it, to go on a diet when you've got acid reflux, but it's not so easy when you're hungry. It's easy to go the speed limit while the policeman that just gave you that ticket still in the rearview mirror, or when the flash from that camera that are being put up all over this the state, it seems, when the flash bulb is still bright in your eyes, it's easy to drive the speed limit then. But it's not so easy at other times when the motivation isn't there. So the character we have has a lot to do with the motivation to keep the resolutions that we're going to talk about. We need to be specific in our resolutions. It doesn't do much to say, well, in 2009, I'm just going to be a nicer guy, because that's sort of subjective rather than objective, not easy to manage and not easier to measure. So we need to be specific, and we need to have an evaluation process. We need to be able to look at our results and tell whether more effort is needed or whether we need to sustain a certain effort. We need to be careful not to take on too much. I remember my mom used to say that you bit off more than you can chew, and I think you can do that with resolutions. You can identify all of your weaknesses and resolve specifically to correct every one, and it's such a job that we become frustrated and throw up our hands and just quit trying on everything. And we also need to understand that this is time-consuming. We need to dedicate enough time and energy to the changing of the things that we identify to change that it's possible to be successful. Well, here are some resolutions that I think are worthy of consideration for the year of 2009. First of all, the first resolution is based upon a passage found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. The Bible reads, "Abstain from every form of evil." What does it mean, every form of evil? That's talking about the appearance of. So my first resolution is suggestion is to abstain from those things that appear to be evil. Now, appearance, that's sort of a subjective term, isn't it? The things that might appear to be evil in this society might not be evil in some other society. Well, I'm not talking about those kinds of things particularly. I'm talking about those things that appear to make you believe something or be something that you're not. And certainly, we're not talking about those things given by God as black and white, as thou shalt and thou shalt not being subjective rather than objective. We know that they're not. But there are some things that appear to be evil, and even though they're not, they categorize us or classify us with a group of people that we need to be aware of. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Come out from their midst and be separate, saith the Lord." That tells us that there are some that we need to avoid, that there are some circumstances, there are some people, there are some events that we just need to avoid because the appearance of them is evil. James 1 and verse 27 sort of puts the cap on that. It says, keep oneself unspotted by the world. Well, the only way that you can keep unspotted from the world is to come out from its midst or be away from the appearance thereof. Let's make some specifics. Let's talk about cocktail parties at work. Can a Christian go to a cocktail party and drink 7-Up? Well, not in abstain from the very appearance of evil. If we can ascertain through a study of God's word that alcoholic parties are evil, and I think that's possible to do, if we can be confident that that's what God teaches, well, then we need to stay away from that kind of appearance. And certainly, I could walk into a group of people of 100 all holding drinks in the atmosphere of a cocktail party, and I couldn't tell by looking who's got 7-Up and who's got other drinks that are alcoholic. But the very fact that you're there puts you in their midst. Now remember, God said, come out from their midst and be separate. Well, what about dancing? dancing is certainly something that is provable to be not to the benefit of a Christian. There are dangers in dancing. There's all kinds of information given from all kinds of different sources that show the jeopardy that you put yourself in when you go and participate in that kind of activity. Well, what about going to that event and not dancing and just going and being social? Well, again, I ask you, does that allow you to come out and be separate? Are you avoiding the very appearance of that evil? And the question is, no, you're not. So what I'm going to do then is identify those circumstances, those activities that I deem to be sinful through a study of God's Word, and I'm going not to attend that. I'm going to avoid that. If there's a rock concert and there's somebody there that I'm just itching to see, and I like rock and roll music. My rock and roll music might not be have the same definition as some 17-year-old's definition of rock and roll music, but I like concerts, and there are people that I like to go see. But if the concert has a reputation of being filled with dope and smokers and an atmosphere of civil disobedience, I'm not going to go, because that doesn't take me out of the very appearance of evil. Well, what about movies and televisions that are rated in such a way that shows it to be pornography? I'm just not going to be around that because of the passages that I just read. There are many things, I suppose, that would fall into that category: gambling and smoking and drinking and those kinds of things that are just not characteristic of a Christian. I propose that our resolution be to avoid the very appearance of those. And certainly that would take some commitment. That would take some character to make that kind of resolution and to stick with it. We might lose some friends if we were to abstain from those kinds of things. But our purpose here is to be pleasing to God. Well, a second resolution that we might consider is cleaning up our speech. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse 29, the Bible says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear." Well, then the Bible tells us that the words we speak are important. In Colossians 3 and verse 8, "But now you also put them aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech, put it from your mouth." Another passage of Scripture then that tells us that God would have us to have clean speech. Well, how is that manifested? How do we apply that, if we can call that a philosophy or if we can call that an idea, how can we apply that? Well, we can knock off the dirty jokes. We can just clean up the things that we say in for amusement or for entertainment or to be like the world. Remember, come out from among them and be separate. We can watch our mouth when things happen that normally precede cursing. Hitting your thumb with a hammer instead of the head of the nail, or the things that just normally set us off. We all have them, and we can watch ourselves and be cognizant of the fact that we're just not going to use certain kinds of language. We can watch ourselves when we're talking about other people. We cannot participate in what we call gossip. Gossip is telling part of something to create a wrong impression, and that's just not having the right kind of speech. That is an unwholesome word proceeding from our mouth. So then we see that in our first resolution, we've decided that we're going to abstain from every appearance of evil. And in our second resolution, we're going to clean up our speech. We're not going to talk like the world. We're not going to tell jokes like the world. We're not going to gossip like the world gossips. We're going to be a different kind of a people. Third, I suggest that we take the resolution of killing an enemy. You heard me right. I think that we should identify an enemy for 2009 and kill him. And we do that by making that person a friend. In Proverbs, the 15th chapter and verse 1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath." In Matthew 5 and verse 44, Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In Romans 12 and verse 20, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him to drink. I'd like for you to consider now, if you would, a passage of Scripture found in a favorite book of mine, that being the book of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter and verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fail, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to have more friends. I'm going to have more friends by conducting myself in such a way that those that I now consider my enemies will be converted to be my friends. I'm going to try and be hospitable, not just with those that I find it convenient and easy to be hospitable with. I have a group of friends that are very easy to be around. I look forward to being around them on a regular basis. And those are not the kind of people I'm talking about. I'm not saying that I'm going to avoid those people. I just say that I'm going to try to be more hospitable to the ones that I don't like to be around. I'm going to try to open up my sphere of friendship and try to restore relationships that once have been broken or perhaps never even started. I'm going to create an ember atmosphere around myself. Ember is an acronym. It stands for Establish Mutually Beneficial and Everlasting Relationships. If I'll do that, then I will be able to eliminate an enemy, by bringing about a friend. Well, a fourth resolution that I propose this year is to be content. In Philippians 4 and verse 11, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Boy, now that's a hard one for me, to be content. It's hard to be aggressive. It's hard to be the kind of person that really uses your God-given talents and still be content with what you have. I think it's not talking about us becoming lazy. It's not talking about us stopping our push for excellence. It's talking about not becoming complacent. It's talking about not becoming satisfied. It's talking about continuing to use our ability, continuing to stretch forth with our opportunities, but not worrying about, not fretting about, not becoming despondent about those things that I can't control. Not being anxious, but being content. Well, also this year, I think a good thing for us to resolve is to obey the civil law better than we have before. Not looking on ways to break the law without getting caught, but looking for ways to obey the law. There are some very specific passages in the Bible that have to do with obedience to law. I want to read those with you right now. And the first, of course, and the one I hear used the most, this subject, is Romans the 13th chapter. In Romans 13, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities." I want you to just stop right there and note that it didn't say, the Bible does not say, be in subjection to those governing authorities that you agree with. It says, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but are for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what's good, and you will have praise from the same. For it's a minister of God, authority is, or government is, for you to do good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices it. Wherefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due to them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. That's Romans 13, verse 1 through 7. That passage is augmented by a passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorant of foolish men. Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves for good. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Now, if you would, give some attention to James chapter 2 and verse 10. Therein the Bible says, "For whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of it all." Well, this year I have a choice, and you have a choice. We can be law-abiding, or we can see how much we can get away with. We can drive the speed limit, or we can see how much we can get away with. We can jaywalk, or we can go to the crosswalk. We can throw that piece of paper out the window, or we can not litter. We can pay our taxes, or we can enter into schemes to avoid tax paying because we can get away with it. We can take things home from the office that are not ours, because everybody does. We can do things that are just not legal. We can steal a signal from a cable company. We can avoid paying what we owe to somebody because we think that we can get away with it. Or we can make up our mind right now to be law-abiding. We can make up our mind right now that if we don't like the law, we can enter into process, which we have as rights of this country, to change the law rather than to break the law. Which will it be? Well, if our resolution is to do that which Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 tell us very clearly to do, we will try our best to be more law-abiding. If we are employers, we can make up our mind right now to treat our employees better. We can look at Deuteronomy 24 and verse 15, and we can see that we are to pay our employees fairly. We can look at James 5 and verse 4, and we can see that cheating our employees is something that God recognizes. If we're an employee, we can treat our employer with more respect. We can work for our employer as though we're working for the Lord and not for him. That's taught in Colossians 3, verse 22 and 23. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, we read that everything that we do with all of our might. So right now, we can make a resolution to give our employer every ounce of our effort, to do the very best that we can, that we can work for him as though we're working for the Lord and rather than him. We can also resolve to pray more. James 5, verse 13 through 16, tells us to pray for one another. The effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we don't already do so, we can add prayer to our daily routine. We can add prayer to our daily routine in multiples. Sometimes people use prayer like a fire plug. They wait until there's a fire and then plug in, and hope that God will help them out of some crises. But I would tell you that prayer is not something of peaks and valleys. It is something that we do regularly. Pray without ceasing is what we read in the book of 1 Thessalonians. So next year, how about joining me in the resolution to pray more? Especially giving God thanks more for the things that he's done for us. We might have the resolution next year to respect our parents more, to live with the right attitude toward our parents. Or we might respect our children more by spending more time with them. might help them to establish good Bible study habits. We might read Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9 and Ephesians 6 and verse 4 and see the responsibility we have in a spiritual nature toward our children. Well, there are a lot of resolutions we can make, and this are just some of them. I pray that you have a good year, and I pray that the resolutions you make will result in being closer to the Lord. May you have ample opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.